broker Jenny Moorhead has been working with real estate clients for more than 30 years. But what does she wish they all knew coming into the transaction? What makes an ideal client? You'll hear how she handles challenging situations involving both buyers and sellers on the Royal Palmcast, beginning right now.
You're listening to The Royal Palmcast, the show about all things real estate. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to The Royal Palmcast. I'm Jim Sandville. This is the show where we talk about real estate, every aspect of it. If you are a realtor, a home buyer, a home seller, we're going to talk about something that you care about. I guarantee that. We're coming to you from the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful sunny Fort Myers, Florida. I'm here today with Jerry Johnson. Jerry, hello.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Jerry. Good. How about is everything okay in your world?
It is, especially. I feel so reassured when you guarantee.
That's a guarantee.
Yeah, because your word is your bond.
It is my bond. Like if you're James wondering bond. Yeah. What my word was, that's what it is, my bond.
So if someone said, hey, Jim, what's your word?
Bond.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, up till now, I thought bird was the word, but turns out
it is bond.
Bird is not the word. Enough of that silliness. We have a great guest here today. She's got some fabulous insights for us. She has been in the real estate business for 30-plus years, believe it or not, and she is Jenny Moorhead, a real estate broker. Jenny, welcome.
Hi. Thanks, Jim and Jerry. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you so much
for
coming out. Yeah, I know how busy you are. Jenny has 70 agents working under her at the Cornerstone Coastal Properties of Fort Myers, where she is the broker owner. Cornerstone Coastal. There, I got it out.
So, thanks for the plug.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been in, you focus on Fort Myers. You're hyper-local, you've told me, and you know the market. And you know clients in this market because you have been involved in many aspects of the real estate business, right?
I have. I've started from property management to sales to brokerage, and most of my agents have a longevity in this area.
What I'd like to talk to you about during this show, Jenny, is the relationship with clients. Specifically, I'd like to zero in on what do you wish that clients of your agency knew? And things that if they did know would make your life not only easier but the transaction smoother. What do you wish they knew?
Well, despite that every agent tries to make their client feel like they're their only client, sometimes that's impossible and there are time constraints. I do think that buyers think, well, if the property's on the market, I can get in the next hour, and that typically isn't the case. For two reasons. One, the agent may be with other clients and they can't do it right away. But secondly, there may be restrictions on showings, whether it be day before notice, 24-hour notice, there's a tenant involved, there's a pet involved. So I think being more empathetic to the constraints that might be there and understanding that would be very helpful for people.
Hmm. When a client comes in and says, I want to look at a house, or calls, I want to look at a house in an hour, what do you tell them? Get real?
Well,
I don't think so, but
politely, you try to say, well, I have to make an appointment. We just can't go. So let me reach out to the listing agent, see what the showing instructions are, and then I'll let you know what those constraints are. Hmm. So oftentimes it's by the time you reach the agent, or if you've set it up online, because some of them have online scheduling showers. Some are go and show, so you can set the appointment and go right away. Then it depends on the agent's availability. Oftentimes in the higher price range homes, it's agent accompanied. So the listing agent has to be there to let you in. It's not on Supra. So you have to also schedule with that. And doing that right now when everyone's super busy, getting four people scheduled together, it can be a juggling act.
So when you're dealing with clients these days, or when your agents are as well, are they in tune with what's going on in the market? The inventory situation is very low.
Most of the agents have done a really good job educating their clients. I don't know that clients truly understand. You know, I was talking to some friends of ours when we were at dinner this weekend, and basically I said, yeah, there's really only like 4,000 pieces of property on the market between all of Lee and Collier County. And that's Lehigh, Cape Coral, Fort Myers Beach, Fort Myers, Estero, Bonita, Naples, Marco Island. I mean, that's it. And they're like, well, that seems like a lot. Until I put in perspective that, well, there's normally 13,000 to 15,000 property's for sale. Mm-hmm. Oh, so I think educating the consumer when they're looking is helpful, because then they understand that there's a lack of inventory right now.
It's clearly a seller's market.
It is a seller's market, but then also educating the seller who's still being unrealistic. Well, it's a seller's market. Why is it my house sold? Well, your fees in your neighborhood are high and you're still overpriced and you've done no work in here and it needs completely gutted. You can't get top dollar. I don't care what market it is. I mean, buyers might be paying a premium, but they're not stupid either.
I always like to say somewhere between $1 and your asking price, the house will sell
right.
immediately.
Right.
What is the highest possible number right. that can be? But the market sets it.
Right. Well, and that's what we try to educate sellers. If you're not getting showings, it's always price mm-hmm. because you're not even getting them in the door. If you're getting them in the door and you're not getting offers, it's condition of the property typically. So mm-hmm. there's a couple of ways to approach it with your client and how you adjust pricing. And I always tell agents, talk to your seller. If you want to put it in the listing agreement, in 14 days, we're reevaluating price. Put it in there so the expectation is already set with them based on activity.
Huh. Now, what does a dream client look like to you?
I saw this house online. Let's go look at it. I want to buy it. I already have friends in the neighborhood. And that's happened.
Market sold.
Yep. Yep. And it's happening right now because a lot of people who already live here have friends that are moving here. So you're not having to sell the lifestyle or the community or take them to five different neighborhoods to check out, okay, what amenities do I like the most? What are the fees? What are this? They already know it because they already have friends in there. So they're sold on the neighborhood. They're moving because their friends are there. So it's a matter of, okay, let's see if this is the right house for us.
Now, it strikes me, and you tell me if I'm way off base, that you really don't even, the market itself sells houses. I mean, as you mentioned, I mean, this is Southwest Florida. Who doesn't want to be here? People come here for vacation. Who wouldn't want to live here, right?
Right.
So you
right.
don't really have to spend any time saying we have fishing, golfing, boating.
What's interesting is a lot of people don't know what there is to do around here. So I used to do a ton of corporate relocation for Chico's, their headquarters, and that people would be relocating here. And so we'd take them around and give them a couple hour tour on things to do. And they're like, really? All that's available here? Not the typical just boating, jet skiing, water sports, sunny parks, things like that. It's all the other history of things there are to do. And, you know, the art walk downtown. A lot of people don't even know about the art walk downtown or the music walk. You know, they don't know about those things. So educating them on, oh, there's some other things to do that just don't involve the beach and golf.
I think that's where your experience in the market really pays off, and that of your agents, because you said they've been here on average 10 years, right?
10 plus years, correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you can ask an agent or you a question such as, which beach has the best sunset? What's the secret beach that everyone doesn't know about? Stuff like that, you know, right?
Right. Well, and you know, you go down to Sanibel or you go down to Vanderbilt. I mean, Fort Myers Beach is beautiful, but it is very busy and crowded. So, but a lot of people like that. So they want to, it's closer to Fort Myers. They don't want to drive to Naples. So yeah, you want to educate them on what are you looking for in a beach? And there's 10 different locations you can go to.
No one ever asks about where's the best sunrise, do they?
No, that's on the other coast, and the sand isn't as good over there anyway. Yeah.
On my house, I can see the sunrise, but not the sunset. I live in the water.
Okay, there you go.
But positioned such that, you know, I can't quite make out the sunset. But I imagine it, just like the sunrise.
Yep.
In fact, Jerry, did you ever take a picture of a sunrise and say, yeah, beautiful sunset tonight?
No.
No one knows.
No one knows the difference. Right.
No. Okay, so you've got 70 agents working for you, lots of clients in there, doing huge volumes this year, right?
Yeah, it's been pretty much a record last year for sure.
Wow, is it more than you can handle? Apparently not.
Some days it feels that way. I mean, my days are definitely longer. And, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm talking to agents up till sometimes 10 o'clock at night, just trying to help them navigate the process.
If you're an agent in this market, I guess anywhere in the U.S. right now, but here in Southwest Florida, if you're not selling houses, if you're not successful, what's going on?
Go get a new job.
Yeah. Something's not clicking there.
Right,
huh?
Right. Yeah, but you know, any of the good agents are doing well, and even some newer agents are, just because that's the nature of the market right now.
I think a lot of people move down here to Southwest Florida, you know, toward retirement age, maybe not quite retired, but, and they have it in their head that they're going to be a real estate agent and make a lot of money. And how does that work out?
Well, the average real estate agent in their first year makes less than $30,000. So, you know, it's one of those things. And maybe if you're semi-retired, a couple deals a year are fine for you because you've already got your retirement income and you're just looking for something else to do. And, you know, I just want to make sure everyone's educated enough and understands the nuances of the business, because part of it can be putting your client in a predicament if you're not aware of all the other nuances of the contract.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about commissions, if you don't mind.
When carefully. Antitrust violations here.
I'm not a realtor, as I mentioned in a previous show, nor is anyone here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association by design. So my questions are genuine. Can you describe the commission structure for me?
Commission structure for agents or commission structures on listings? So there's
all
two different.
All of the above, yeah.
So traditionally, commissions are split between the listing agent and the buyer's agent. There's no set commission rate. Everyone has the ability to do whatever they want to do.
It's not legal to set a commission.
It is not legal to set. It's a violation of the Sherman antitrust laws.
Yeah.
Correct.
Collusion.
Correct. So, but traditionally, they are split between the listing agent and the buyer's agent. And that's traditional around here. That split might be different. Maybe the listing agent's getting paid more and the buyer's agent's getting paid less. There's no way to know that. But the commission that's being paid to the buyer's agent is listed at MLS. So the agents know what they're getting paid in advance when they're showing a property. So,
But a buyer, when they come in, they don't.
The buyer
they
does not pay.
It.
Yep.
They buyers, negotiate the commission. Right?
Buyers don't pay commission. Sellers pay commission.
Oh, of course.
So the commission is paid by the listing agent.
But the sellers
owner.
Care about it. The sellers,
the
care,
sellers
about,
care.
That's what
correct.
I meant to
and
say.
They look for, you know, what services and everything like that. Agencies and offices have different structures. So all companies have a different commission structure on how they pay their agents. Some are 100% offices with a fee. Some have different splits based on services and technology that they provide and tools that they provide. So it's like a smorgasbord of options for agents, which is why when I have newer agents, I tell them, you should interview a handful of companies. Everyone has a different way in which they do business, and you need to make the right fit for you. You're going to be more successful if you're in an environment that you can feel cultivated in.
I don't know if you can answer this, but can you, just because I truly don't know, what is the low end of the commission range one would expect?
And I can't tell you that.
Don't know any. Yep. Can't say.
Nope.
That stuff. Yeah.
Can't talk about that.
Yeah. All right. That's fair. What else do you wish that clients knew about the real estate business when they come to you to list their home or buy a home?
Well, just all the processes involved and understanding. I try to help agents explain to sellers, here's all the things that we're going to have to do. Understanding them and complying with them. Because sellers really just want you to get the pictures done, get it in, and let's sell the house. Well, there's staging involved. There's removing all your personal items so that it doesn't, you want to depersonalize the house a little bit. You want the buyer to walk in and feel like they can see themselves in there, not that they're kicking grandma out of her guest room. So it's more about creating that and helping them understand the process. Same with buyers. It's a busy market. If you're ready to buy, that's great. If you're not, the house you're looking at today probably won't be there.
If you're not paying cash, which many folks are
correct.
These days, how important is it to pre-qualify for money?
Any strong, experienced agent will not even show property without a pre-approval letter. And you shouldn't, because all agents are requiring them with contracts right now. Hmm. It's too busy not to.
Yeah.
So last thing you want to do is have your seller enter into an agreement with someone who hasn't even been pre-approved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things can blow up real quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And what happens when someone comes in and because I understand this is the current trend, is someone offers more than the asking price. How does that?
Well, sometimes there's multiple offers.
Mm-hmm.
So one general misconception among the public is that they'll call for highest and best offer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no rule that says they have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if the agent's already told you there's multiple offers, you need to tell your buyer to submit their best offer because they may not have another opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the biggest thing. I've had other agents call me because a broker in my office, their client took another offer. Well, they didn't give us an offer for highest and best. I'm like, they don't have to. That's the seller's choice.
Yeah.
That's not the agent's choice. It's up to the seller. And if they're happy with one of the offers that came in, they may just sign it.
And do they often hold out and try to initiate or engage in a bidding war of some kind?
Some will say highest and best by X time on X day. Some just get the offers in and say, okay, this is the best one and let's go forward.
Interesting. Yeah.
So
another thing that it strikes me that buyers may not be aware of is flood insurance, because especially if you're moving to Cape Coral, if you're on a canal or on the water, flood insurance is a consideration, isn't it?
Yeah, we pretty much tell people if you're moving to Southwest Florida, bank on flood insurance. There's areas that aren't. There's some that are lower risk, some that are in the X zone or A, B, or C that don't require flood or require minimal flood. It is very easy to look at the flood zone map through FEMA now to determine that. Our property appraiser actually added an option now that says the flood zone, which they didn't have before. So even the general public can find out if it's in a flood zone pretty easily now.
And the whole rate structure for that insurance could change in the next few years, correct?
It changes every year anyway. Yeah. So the flood map gets remapped every year.
Did I hear somewhere from NAR perhaps that there could be potential 5,000% increase over the next few years?
They're trying to fight with the state insurance companies to limit the increases in flood. But so, I remember back right after Charlie, one of my clients from Chico's actually was buying a house on Sanibel. His insurance, because he was on water, was $30,000 a year.
Right.
And once it got remapped, because it was elevated, it was on pilings and all that, he was able to get it reduced. But that's just where it was. So it's definitely something you want to make sure you know for your client, because certainly if they're getting a loan, that amount could put them out of the lend zone.
Yeah, they may have come from had a vacation home on a lake somewhere up north, and where flood insurance doesn't really come into it. But down here, they might be in for a rude awakening.
Well, radon's another thing. People think, oh, we're in Florida. There's no radon in Florida.
Yeah, you think of granite when you think of radon.
Yeah, it's one in four houses in Southwest Florida.
Really?
One in four.
And the source is obviously the
aggregate in the slab and building materials here, because there's no basements. Basements are swimming pools here. So.
Right. Interesting. All right. Well, we need to take a very quick break, which we're going to do now, and we'll be right back with our guest, Jenny Moorhead, after this.
Hi, I'm Jason Jakis, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Michelle Prox-Foos with Goodwill Industries of Southwest Florida, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, this is Bob Wade, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Education? You need it? We've got it. I'm Angela Foster, Director of Education at Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. If you're a realtor in Southwest Florida, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has the classes, courses, workshops, and webinars you need to stay at the top of your game and keep your license current. Looking to bill your continuing education hours? We offer core law and code of ethics classes to fulfill your CE requirement, along with many other courses to fulfill your requirements for specialty credits. Want to learn the ins and outs of the specific market you serve? Our A-Series provides an in-depth look at Cape Coral and Fort Myers with all the right experts to fill you in. Our Contract Series is a 5-session course on listing agreements, FAR bar contracts, timelines, and more. It doesn't end there. Classes like how to stay out of real estate jail, negotiating skills, listing tips, conflict resolution, and many more keep realtors in Lee County up to speed with the latest information. Many of our classes are free to members, and some are open to non-members. If you're a real estate professional who's interested in working in the Southwest Florida market, we've got you covered. For more information, visit our website at rpcra.org or email education@rpcra.org.
RPCRA frequently partners with Lee Health to help our community with life-saving donations of blood. Please consider donating at one of our upcoming collection events at our Cape Coral or Fort Myers office. Keep an eye on your member weekly newsletter and our Facebook page for exact dates and locations. Your community is counting on you, and we thank you for giving.
Welcome back to the Royal Podcast. I'm Jim Sandville with Jerry Johnson and Jenny Moorhead, our guest today. Jenny is a broker owner at Cornerstone Coastal Properties of Fort Myers, Florida. And Fort Myers is exactly where we are. It's a beautiful, sunny spot. If you haven't been here, you ought to get here. But if you're listening to this show, there's a good chance you have been here. And we would love to see you. So in any event, Jenny, you are being very patient and kind with me because you know so much about the business and I know relatively little. And so I want you to give me your thoughts, if you would, on a few of the issues that are out there right now. How are you seeing changes in being impacted by changes in the political landscape, environmental landscape, things like that? I mean, it's a changing world, right?
It's a changing world for everyone. So again, I just tell agents, be educated on what's going on in your local market. Our market is affected differently than other parts of the country. So paying attention to the newsletter that comes out from FAR is really important. They provide a lot of good information, and so does our Royal Palm Coast. They send out a weekly briefing that I encourage everyone that's in the business to read.
That's the member weekly update?
That is.
Yeah, I happen to be involved in that.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yes, we
lots
know.
Lots of good information about changes, even things coming up at the board, events, things like that.
Yeah, we try to make sure our members and brokers are very well informed.
Yeah, so. Especially with our most recent episode or issue where we're actually soliciting brokers for more input.
We are. And Jenny's done a good job in this and other shows Absolutely. Of explaining the benefits that she as a broker has gotten from engaging at such a high level at here at the Realtor Association. And over the years, she's been a board member and a volunteer in many aspects. And it's really paid dividends for you, right, Jenny?
It has. It's built relationships with other brokers across the community. So.
Good stuff. All right. We're going to need to wrap up pretty soon, but I just want to touch on a couple of things that are still left on my question list here. Tell me about your best day as a broker. What was that like? What was that day like?
My best day as broker was helping one of my newer agents walk through their first transaction. So she was all nervous, and it reminded me of my first transaction. Like, literally my first deal I sold, I sat in my office crying. Like, I literally sat there and said, I'm going to screw something up, and I'm going to destroy someone or lose their money. I'd been in the business for forever, but you have this self-doubt when you're writing your first real contract. And the agent next to me, Amanda Carey, who is still with the association and actually now works for me, helped me walk through it. So I try to do the same thing for the agents in my office. You know, I want to help them feel more comfortable in the transaction and know that it's okay. You're going to make mistakes. Everybody does. It's how you work through them and what you do. So getting the new agent their first transaction and getting it closed was great.
Oh, that's going to be gratifying to see that agent begin to blossom,
right,
and have some
and
confidence.
Grow and then get a repeat customer out of it. Those people sent them someone else, so and that's the goal.
Way. They're
right.
On their way to a great career. That's awesome. Now, what was your best day overall in your real estate career?
Probably one of the clients that I bought. It was their first home buying experience. So most of my clients I know really well, and this particular person happened to be my daughter's boss at the time. So here's my daughter referring someone to me, and I'm like, oh boy, I can't, you know, hope she doesn't look bad. And it was the first house they'd ever bought, and they cried at the closing.
Oh.
So, you know, you do these million-dollar deals, and it's transactional to a lot of those people. It's their second home. It's their vacation home. And as important as they are, that first-time home buyer will leave a much bigger impact on you.
That is a big deal. Yeah, I agree. Now, how about your worst day as a broker? What was that like?
I hate conflict. So it's resolving conflict. And I took an entire course in college on conflict resolution and read a book called Getting to Yes. So I encourage a lot of agents to read it because it talks about basically mediating, trying to find a common goal to get everyone happy. And as I tell everyone, a good deal is usually when the buyer feels like they had to give something and the seller feels like they had to give something. Not everyone's going to be happy. That's probably the best deal. So it's having to resolve some of those conflicts and having sellers screaming or yelling because the contract canceled. Well, it's not the agent's fault, but they want to vent and they're upset and they've made plans and this happened. So those types of things are very upsetting to me because you don't want any of your clients to have experienced that, but it's inevitable that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow. What are the things that go wrong most of all, most frequently?
Inspections and financing.
Inspections. Now, inspections tend to be very thorough, right? Since the inspector wants to cover his or herself.
Well, yes. And I'm delicate on that home inspection because I live with a home inspector. I don't think what agents understand is that home inspector doesn't have any skin in the game. They are there to call balls and strikes. It's either working or it's not working. They're not there to kill your deal. It's educating the buyer. So when choosing a home inspection company, a lot of it is having a home inspector that doesn't inflame the situation. Explains, this is not a new house. There's going to be normal wear and tear. This is normal. It's broken, but it's normal. You know, the AC is 18 years old. It probably isn't going to last long. So those types of things I try and explain to agents when you're dealing with your buyer, taking that calming approach, not misleading them, but just saying, okay, some of the famous last words of a realtor, you are not buying a new house. There's going to be things that are wrong. Expect that. Set the expectation when you're going into the home inspection, and your outcome will be much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember many years ago when I bought a used car, I said to the salesman, well, there's a ding in the door here. He stopped and put a hand on each shoulder and said to me, it's a used car.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I guess I'll roll with it.
Right. And that's part of it. And it's, again, educating the consumer because they don't know.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily know the contract. So they don't know what they can ask for and not ask for.
Hmm.
You know, the Naples contract's different than the Fort Myers contract. They have different ways of handling inspections and issues that arise at inspection. So for the agent, know your contract. Know your contract and know your deadlines.
Mm.
And for the consumer, read your contract. Understand the deadlines. So
do you recommend to your buyers that they bring a lawyer to the transaction?
It depends what part of the country they're from, what they're comfortable with. Some clients only want an attorney because that's how they do it where they're at. It's very customary here to use a title company, but we give sellers an option. So in Lee County, sellers traditionally pay for title insurance. Collier County buyers traditionally pay for title insurance. So we have a list that we give to whatever side of the transaction we're on. Here's a couple of people. You choose. We're not choosing. I don't want the liability.
Mm,
gotcha. Risk reduction. Push the risk off to someone else.
Gotcha, gotcha. So we're here in Southwest Florida where tend to be a fair amount of retirees and people of an older generation. Who is buying houses here, though? Is it the retiree, the traditional northern retiree?
Probably 50% of them are. Many of them are cash right now. Although our demographic in Southwest Florida has changed. We used to be kind of an old people petting zoo. We've now... Our average age has actually reduced to about 35 to 40. I mean, the
really?
Average age here is much lower. There are more younger people here because of the college and things like that, I'm sure. But there's a gap in age. So you've got the younger to 40, then you got the 70. So, but there's a lot of second home and retirees here as well.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right. What other things, Jenny, do you wish that clients knew about the real estate transaction?
I think more of it's about knowing and trusting your agent and taking guidance from them. Kind of know a little bit about the area when you're coming, or explain to the agent you don't know anything about the area. And please be honest with your agent. I'm looking in Sarasota. I'm looking in Tampa. Let the agent understand that here's the difference, and we're looking all over. And know what you want. Even though you think you know what you want, you probably don't. And we've had many clients that say, I want to be here, I want to be here, close to this, close to that, and then they end up buying completely somewhere else.
Huh.
Because after a day of being with them, the agent understands, well, what you're telling me you want is really like this. And then they take them out there and they're like, yeah, this is it. So
yeah, I think I'm guilty of that. when I bought my last house, I really didn't know what I wanted. Right. I just wanted to know what are the options, and I'll think about it. And we looked at way too many houses, mm-hmm. way too many. I feel so badly for the realtor who happened to be my cousin.
Right.
It's the only reason I was able to abuse him so badly.
Exactly.
But he took it in stride, and he showed me 100 houses. No kidding, because we wanted to get a feel of the market before we even sold our house, and it took us a lot longer to sell than to buy.
You know? Right. Well, I think part of the key in educating clients now is, you know, I tell agents, if they're not sure what they want, find a vacant house in a neighborhood and show them that with the neighborhood so they can narrow down the neighborhood. Because if the neighborhood isn't for them, why are you going in four houses in that neighborhood anyway?
Somebody,
even if they like the house.
I've heard somebody say that it's a good idea to visit the neighborhood daytime, nighttime, weekends, if you can.
It's hard just, to get in here because of gates.
Yeah,
the gates are difficult to get in.
Well,
so.
If it's not a gated community.
Not much of that here. Unless you're in Cape Coral. Yeah, so most of Fort Myers and Collier County are all gated.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Jim and I are both from Cape Coral.
So. Right.
Yeah. We belong behind bars, but we're not behind gates.
Exactly.
I'll tell you that
right
now. Yeah. All right. Hey, Jenny, I want to thank you for taking the time to come here today. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity to spread a little bit of my knowledge to everyone.
Awesome.
We really appreciate it. Now, how can folks get in touch with you if they want?
They can reach me by cell phone at 239-671-2227, or they can always email me at jenny@cornerstonecoastal.com. Our office hours we're around all the time. We have a great staff, and we have a great group of agents in our office. So I encourage you to check out our website, cornerstonecoastal.com, and you can read the bios on them. And
wonderful. And what message do you have for brokers out there here in Southwest Florida who are thinking about getting engaged in the association?
Get involved. Be proactive. Help with change. There's things that need to be done with our association, and the only way that gets done is by active members.
Wonderful. Wise words, wise words. Jerry, thank you so much.
No, you're very welcome, Jim, and thank you. You did an awesome job.
Pleasure working with you, Jerry. Pleasure working
ditto,
with you.
Ditto.
I also want to thank Beata Jones. She is our CEO, and she is very supportive of what we are doing here in the studio, including this podcast. And I want to thank you for listening. You can get in touch with us at The Royal Podcast by sending an email to shows@rpcra.org. That's shows@rpcra.org. We'd love to hear from you. My name is Jim Sandville. I've been your host, and we thank you for listening. We'll look forward to speaking again next time.
Thanks for listening to The Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again each week. Share and subscribe on your favorite podcast app or YouTube. And be sure to check out our sister podcast, Realtor Riff Wrap, and our video news show, Realtor's Corner, which can be found on the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association Facebook page and YouTube channel. For information about sponsorship opportunities for this and other RPCRA productions, email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.